Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent.
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Beryl-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you're listening to HR Educational Radio. Our guest today is Rich Layton. He is the Chief Clarity Officer, or COO, and he has a new book called Cutting the Cost of Confusion. Welcome to the show, Rich.
David, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here in virtual reality with you.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. We're glad to have you on board. You know, I don't know about you, but when you say Chief Clarity Officer, shouldn't it be more like Chief Wish I Could Get Some Clarity Officer? Wouldn't that be an easier title for you?
It's an aspirational title.
I understand. Well, it fits the eliminate the high price of failure in communication. So I got to tell you, at the end of the day, communication is probably the number one thing I hear from people that I coach, people that I talk to, organizations we discuss with. Communication is such a wide topic, though. You know, what made you think about this?
Well, I'm a lifelong communicator, of course. I cross-pollinated with some management consultants, and it was a little bit like, you know, when chocolate met peanut butter. And I was like, wait, communication and risk management. And I found so often that communication was an afterthought, or other people thought they could handle it. They didn't think it required that it was a professional discipline on its own. And the ability to point out to people that if you fail to communicate in a particular situation, you're at risk. We got a new initiative. We got a new product. Let's ask, what happens if people fail to understand what we need them to understand?
So when you thought about this book, or you came to the decision to write this book, what was it that propelled you into that decision making?
You know, I really started this book about 20 years ago. I literally found submissions to Harvard Business Review and some other things. And I got to a point where I realized I kept waiting for somebody else to write this book. I kept waiting for some other consultant or some other thought leader, you know, a Malcolm Gladwell or somebody to say cost of confusion. And I never saw it. And so as I got into my career and I felt like it's such a dead simple concept in a certain way that I didn't want it to stop with me. I felt like I owed it to the world to give it back. Did I want to be a best-selling author? No, I would have rather made another record as a songwriter, rock and roll guy, you know. But I felt this obligation to the gift I was given by the universe, which is this little piece of this little particular lens of looking at the world and organizations.
Rich, tell us a little about yourself. The audience certainly doesn't know you yet. Give us a snapshot of who you are and where you came from.
Snapshot, where I came from. I was thinking about how, do you think of yourself as having been genetically predisposed to grow up to be what you became? You know, I was the guy that asked why. I was the kid that asked why sometimes, you know, to my personal safety, to the detriment of my personal safety. And, you know, it's not like I fought authority and authority always won, but I questioned authority because I always, you know, suspected there might be a better way to do things. And just being told, because I told you so, you know, was never going to make it for me as an answer. And of course, it comes back to haunt you as a parent. When you
absolutely.
Go, it's really, really inconvenient for me to sit down and explain why we're doing this particular thing this way at this moment. You know, just do it because I told you so. But, I have to talk about coming out of a dysfunctional alcoholic family system and how that creates a dynamic in which you're trying to be heard. You're trying to be understood. You're trying to think of the magic trick that will bring peace and harmony to your household. So sort of going into the world with that kind of orientation and that kind of resilience and that kind of desire to make a difference kind of led me to, you know, communication, writing, and then psychology, and ultimately flipping that around and changing my major to radio, TV, and film, and sort of always blending psychology and communication in a way. And I must say, I've had a very short number of entries on my resume that involved me working for other people. I think I finally had to accept that I was sort of genetically incapable of operating in a large organization because of this fierce, you know, desire to ask, why is it being done this way when it could be done all these other ways? And I look back also on the summers between college when I worked at factories and I drove trucks, and I come from a blue collar background, and watching guys go up to the bulletin board to see some announcement from HR or from, you know, the CEO or somebody, and just, you know, cussing every which way, three ways to Sunday, and what I call pegging the BS meter, if that's okay to say on radio.
It is.
And so it was like, you know what? There's a better way, because most of the people that I worked with my entire life are people who wanted to make a difference. They wanted to contribute. I will tell people in all the different jobs I've had that it's a lot more exhausting to look busy than to be busy. I would much rather be busy.
No, there's no question about it. It's communication, as you generally talk about it, has been a challenge everywhere. It doesn't really matter if you're young or old. It's because the receptors, the person on the other side, has maybe a different view or a different vision or a different value system than you do. And while we get into the book, and certainly in the second segment today, I kind of want to know about, when did you suddenly realize that it was a problem at work or you know, in the HR world or in any world in general?
Oh my goodness. Well, I guess it was being between, you know, working in concert with other consulting firms and seeing a lot of, you know, the double space communication and or double space. It was a failure to communicate, double space memos, the lengthy manuals, the things that people are expected to sit down really dense and figure out what's important to them. And that was the idea. That's when it sort of came to me that we need to operate internally inside of corporations. We need to think like a brand. We need to think like marketers. We are competing for mind share. We are competing for the folks to come to work every day and bring the very best parts of themselves to the office. And so I guess it was, you know, when I realized that, and I tried to sell this concept in a lot of other places and go to work for agencies, go to work for large consulting firms. And I had an Accenture VP, executive VP, take me aside at a professional meeting one time. And he said, Rich, I get that you think it's about making a difference for your clients. In our world, it's about the billable hours. And so it's like, I stopped, I tore up my resume, stopped answering ads, and I doubled down on Transform Communications, the kind of, you know, boutique consulting practice that I had started. And I've been certifiably unemployable ever since for the past 25 years.
Well, we do know a lot of people, including probably myself, that, once you go into your own business, once you start making all those decisions, then especially if you have success with it, there's very little chance you're going back inside afterward.
Exactly how that works. I was going to ask you, to the point that I made, I noticed you were an Eagle Scout. So how does having been an Eagle Scout, sort of bubble into what you do and how you approach the world and how you approach HR, for example?
Well, I got to tell you, it's interesting. Probably I see that any of the scouting process and even going with setting goals, right? And to get to the point of being an Eagle Scout. And I was an Eagle Scout. I was one of the younger ones. So the earliest you could become an Eagle Scout, I got it done. And that was my goal, to really get it done, and certainly supported by my parents and all that stuff. As anybody in scouting knows, it takes more than just one person to make that happen. But I figured, if I didn't get it done early, I would find other things to be interested in later. And that is really about what all HR and all leadership is about. It's about doing the tough stuff first and getting it out of the way rather than waiting, right, to get to the endorphin rush of all the fun stuff afterwards. And that's hard. There's no question. I'm still guilty of it today. The checking off the endorphin rush. Yay, right. I got 10 things done, but none of them were important. But I got 10 things done. And I think that that's probably what HR as well as leaders today face, that challenge of managing your time. And I suspect you feel the same way, right? In terms of there's always priorities and there's always confusion in terms of what you should be doing and that prioritization of that confusion of what's really important.
And I think that in my case, part of my passion, part of my mission has been helping my fellow, corporate communicators and training folks and HR people get a seat at the table so that they are involved in the, senior planning and decision-making things so that we can bring our particular lens to the discussion when there's still time to do something about it, as opposed to, after something's not been successful and we can't contribute. I used to say, if you call me and say, hey, Rich, we need a brochure or we need a video or we need a website, I can do all those things, but I'm not going to add as much value as if I had been invited in a little bit sooner to say, what is the problem that you think you're trying to solve, that you think you have? Because if you've decided how to solve it, you've maybe missed the opportunity.
And of course, we're talking with Rich Layton. He's the Chief Clarity Officer and the author of the book, Cutting the Cost of Confusion. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, of course, Educational HR Radio. Rich, as we look here to wrap up the first segment today, as we get ready to talk about the book, what is a couple of the top things that you think we should be discussing today in the second segment?
Oh, good one. Good one. Putting my HR hat on, I think it's about, employee engagement and giving people an understanding and the tools to do what we've asked them to do. I used to joke about having to go to work and pull spark plug wires. I don't want to have to ask people that work in an organization to pull spark plug wires when they get to the door and operate on any fewer cylinders than they've always had. I think that's important. And I think just in general, bringing this kind of higher level of branding and creativity to the communications functions that are so essential to corporations. I think those are a couple of pieces.
That's great. And by the way, of course, for all of you under the age of 40, spark plug wires were on cars at one point. Now it's electronic ignition. You may not know the difference, but just so putting it in the context, Rich, sure our younger generation doesn't go, what the heck is a spark plug wire?
I have pulled a lot of metaphors out of my, out of my life. I never thought about this one. You just dinged me. And of course, my wife's got a Tesla sitting in the garage, and so I should know better by now.
It's just funny, right? I mean, it is. I mean, I have said many times about, I'll have to check my Rolodex.
Right?
That's another one. Nobody has no idea what that is unless you go to Rolodex.com and it's actually an app. But, it's kind of funny. It's just funny how people look that way. Well, I'm looking forward to talking to you about it. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, a news talk, WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
Your car is a wreck and you don't know where to go.
Take it to Moody's.
trust, and it won't be a fuss.
Take it to Moody's Collision Centers.
M-O-O-D-Y. Your kid was talking on the cell phone, drove right through your own home, sitting in the parking lot, maybe you get hit a lot, driving through the green light, suddenly your side swipe, put it in reverse, but it turned out that it was first.
Take it to Moody's.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
As the list of compliance challenges for businesses continues to grow, it's time to think about your payroll vendor as someone that can do more than just pay your employees. I'm Chris Clef, president of Paper Trails. We're a team of fun and local experts purveying convenient, high-tech payroll and compliance services across New England. Whether your business is struggling to stay compliant with an earned paid leave law, you're worrying about retirement savings programs, or you have questions about your state's paid family medical leave, Paper Trails has the team and tools necessary to allow you to handle the work while we handle the paperwork. To learn more about Paper Trails and how we can help your business, visit papertrails.com/HR Power.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo. You're listening to Educational HR Radio. Of course, the HR Power Hour is podcast on all major podcast channels, or you can go to HRPowerHour.com. Or, of course, you can go to WLOB Radio here in the Portland, Maine market, and we're happy to have you broadcast across the country on WLOBRadio.com. Rich, we're talking about your new book, Cutting the Cost of Confusion, Eliminate the High Price of Failure to Communicate. Of course, our guest today is Richard Layton, and he has this new book, and he's the Chief Clarity Officer, which fits right in with Cutting the Cost of Confusion Communication. So let's talk about your book. And it's not a big, long book. It's a nice, very simple read. I got to say that right up front. I took a look at it. You only have about a 150 pages, right? 150, 60 pages. So not that long.
You know, I didn't want it to be longer because if it was longer, I wouldn't be doing what I say we should do in the world, which, you know, is kind of a problem with the publisher, an academic publisher in particular. But I made the word count that we were contracted for. But again, I just came back and I said, I don't want to add fluff. I want people to get right through it, get to the meat, get to the tools, get to the piece that they can take away right away and start, you know, looking at their organization with this lens.
No, it's true. You know, you have a couple of topics here, and one is the cost of confusing customers, the cost of confusing employees. Let's stick with those two right now, because customers and employees are two of the biggest areas that an organization is going to face. Data coming from the outside, data coming from the inside of the organization for those two areas. And while they may seem different, in fact, I argue that both are, one's the internal customer and one is the external customer for anybody within an organization. Tell me about those two sections. Tell me about what it is that you're trying to get across in the discussion of those two areas.
Right. I think in terms of the internal customer, it comes from, you know, consulting to organizations and seeing things fail, seeing initiatives fail, seeing signups for benefits plans fail, seeing a lot of things fail, and realizing that's because the way they were communicated, there was sort of an absence of a compelling value proposition to employees. And also recognizing that each employee kind of needs a different value proposition when you're doing any kind of initiative. So you know, when I go in and look at trying to solve a problem or help somebody be successful, it's like, well, here's all the reasons, but we're only going to communicate this set of reasons to this group of people because it's meaningful to them, and a different set of reasons to these groups of people because it's meaningful to them. And often HR has to kind of do a shotgun approach to communication and kind of, you know, giving people so much information that they can't really hang on to anything that's meaningful to them. And so it's, I had a client, he had the greatest saying, just said they glazed over like a Christmas ham. And I know we've all been in meetings and events where somebody just went too far into the weeds and you watch it happen. You watch people just get overwhelmed. I think internally too, there's an inability to maybe to prioritize what is the most important thing to the business at a given time. So HR has to send out safety training and signups and summer classes and bake sales. And all this information is coming across these SharePoint, you know, the employee SharePoint site. And it's just wallpaper. And everyone's initiative is competing for that same bit of mind share. So at some point, if you could get a group of people saying, this is the thing that we need to focus on now, and the other groups of people who are competing and putting information out here, we need to kind of plan how they might, when they should bubble up onto the radar, people's radar. So that's a piece for the internal side. Is that somewhat helpful?
Yeah. So when I think about that, you know, we all know that email is the number one form of communication for business. Problem is, you know, email is the worst form of communication because I can interpret words in my own way. I can also bypass. I scan. I don't read. I actually, you know, what is it? 6 seconds is basically the attention span of a typical email. How do you suggest synthesizing the message so that it isn't confusing and really getting right to the root of the discussion rather than all that other fluff, as you call it, within the
right, email? Right, right. You know, you make a great point. The emotional context for an email is provided solely by the recipient. You know, there is very little emotional context that the writer or creator of that email can provide. One of the things that we will suggest is creating a body of information, a body of graphics, a body of various levels of and ways to communicate to the employee group, depending on just how deeply they need to go in a subject. So if you're rolling out a transformation, or you're a company that's going to an SAP solution and you're changing the entire IT infrastructure that you operate on, then recognizing sort of mapping out the stakeholders, recognizing the risks within each stakeholder group or the value proposition that you need to close the sale to that stakeholder. And so recognizing that it's not one sale, it's a bunch of small sales and for different reasons. I think that's a piece that gets lost or hasn't really been leveraged as well as it could be inside larger enterprise organizations.
Of course, you're listening to the HR Power Hour. I'm your host, David Chulo. We're talking with Rich Layton, Chief Clarity Officer, about his book, Cutting the Cost of Confusion. Rich, as we dig deep into this, you are right. Communication in regards to need to know versus just information. I mean, I know, you know, that sometimes people feel they need to send out a lot of data at the same time, and then they're surprised when people don't even remember it. They don't put it on their calendar. They don't connect to it well. You know, I always kiddingly tell people, you really want to have fun. In the middle of your long email, just write as part of the sentence, call me when you find this. I guarantee you might get one call out of the whole 100 people you email it out to because nobody reads it. right? Just in terms of that. So I think this confusion can sometimes be caused by quantity, not quality.
Right, right. There's information overload, which is a piece of it. But I sort of found this flip side of that I call information underwhelm. So, you know, if you give it to people all in a blast and you don't, you know, help them scan it and categorize it and sort it into buckets and determine what's important to them when. I taught there, you mentioned need to know. I also like the concept of speed to know. And then there's another concept past that of the rate of information transfer. So very, very often, you know, a training course is all day when it should be 2 hours. And so one of the ways that I would explain the cost of confusion, and look, here's a week-long training course. What if we can make that training course a 3-day training course? And those people can get 2 days back at the desk and you can save money, especially if it's an off-site training course. So we were able to kind of put some dollar value promises, if you will, onto the assignment. And of course, the cost of the engagement is a fraction of what the organization is going to save and the value it's going to generate by changing that model into something that's a little more dialed to the needs of the audience and the stakeholder.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And time is not a commodity. Time is everything because you only have so much of it. It's not infinite, right? It's so critical for everybody.
I think that HR professionals can experience the same kind of frustration that, you know, that you and I have when they see how long it takes to get things done, how long it takes decisions to get made. There's this whole science of decision making and when you've got enough information to make a good decision, and the longer you take, the value of the decision is going to be slowly eroded because you haven't been able to act. So I sometimes, you know, wonder whether HR professionals can become the change agents in that regard to slowly, you know, trickle in some organizational best practices, you know, to the parts of their companies that are really stifled and really slowing things down.
You have in chapter 7, it's called Eliminating Confusion, a Methodology. Tell me a little bit about that, but kind of do it through, if you can, a story. Tell us a little bit about how this methodology is used and how you've seen it be successful.
Okay. It comes back to that recognizing that there's a cost of confusion. And so often, you know, you look at a corporation or an organization and try to identify how many times are you having to answer this question on your inbound call service? How many times is a training course getting sidetracked because people aren't quite grasping a key point that you need to understand before you can move on. This whole book was predicated on a company that had created a call center to answer questions about employee benefits. And they had X number of employees, X number of square footage. My colleague held up the benefits booklet at the time and said, "This is the problem. If we communicated this information in a much more efficient, engaging manner, you could make this call center go away." And essentially that's what happened. They made that call center go away. So the four steps in the methodology are recognizing, you know, who are the key stakeholders? Who are the people that can make or break your initiative or make or break the success of your product? And then what is it that each stakeholder group needs to understand in order to be on board, in order to say yes to you, to your product, to your change initiative, to your merger, whatever it might be. And so that's sort of sitting down and analyzing, you know, where people are, where they sit in the organization. And that creates these are the key things that we need to be sure we're communicating to these groups of people. Then you're able to build a kind of an architecture out of that, those messages, those key points, and then create a body of information. And these people are going to, here's our plan. Our plan is, you know, these people are going to get upfront training. These people are going to get a CEO video. These people are going to get a series of email messages, all building up to a certain thing. So it's how do we reach those individual stakeholder groups? How do we connect with them? And how do we move them from don't understand and don't care up to, you know, that corner of the quadrant where they are totally grasping what we need of them and totally engaged with making it happen?
When you find that people finally engage and see the clarity, does it take time? What's the timeline on something like this?
It's going to depend on the complexity of what you're asking folks to do. Thinking about a client that their biggest project, the U.S. company in oil and gas, their biggest project was a $350,000 project. And they acquired projects and plants on three other continents. And the average cost of those projects was $750 million, approaching $1 billion. This company, very successful for many, many years, just didn't have that knowledge base. They didn't have people who were experienced with the kinds of thinking and the kinds of processes and the kinds of timing that you have to do to pull something off that is three times bigger than you've ever done before. And oh, by the way, it's in, you know, this continent with this market, this culture, and over here. And so we pulled together a body of experts from across the industry and created a knowledge base for the Capital Projects organization to bring everybody up to speed and operate so that they could eliminate that risk of project failure simply because they didn't. And we did that in about 18 months, which was pretty much a record, I think. And what happens is then you start to finally get to talk to people and hear them appreciate, you know, and hear them say, you know, I never thought of it in those terms. It never occurred to me to ask those questions at this point in a process. And so pulling that information forward, pulling these decisions forward, made a huge difference in how successful people were able to be at every level in the project organization.
It makes a lot of sense, Rich. I'm going to talk more about this when we come back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour. A news talk, WLOB, 100.5 FM, and podcast on all major podcast channels. We'll be right back. Educational HR Radio is critical to your organization's success, and our sponsors understand the value this program brings to owners, C-suite professionals, and the HR community. We are honored to thank our sponsors for their support and contributions to this program. We thank the law firms of Verrill, Jackson Lewis, and Sheehan Finney, along with our partners, Paper Trails and Strategic HR. Want to be the next sponsor of the HR Power Hour? Text 603-303-6124 and say HR Power Hour sponsor.
Hi, I'm Susan McVetty.
And I'm Pete McVetty from McVetty's Hearth and Home.
Is there a sale going on at the store right now?
No.
No Hearthstone, Quadrifier, Mendota, Wittes, Blaze King, or Morso sale?
No.
No Yodel, Vermont Castings, or Regency? Oh, there's always a Regency sale.
No.
You're telling me that out of the gazillions of wood, gas, and pellet stoves that we carry, there's not a single sale going on?
Nope.
Oh, what about patio furniture, awnings, grills, smokers, and aluminum docks?
No, just because there isn't a big sale going on doesn't mean that we're not having great deals and still doing free estimates for anyone needing a heating appliance.
Oh, well, good. Just let me know when we're having another sale.
Okay, there's always a bargain to be had if you are looking for one. And we don't need a new heating appliance.
Well, maybe my sister needs one, or my friend, or your sister.
Stop by McVetty's Hearth and Home at 893 Route 1 in Yarmouth, or check out our website at stovesofmaine.com for the latest information, including our sales.
Really? I have to check out the website? Really? And I can't believe Regency isn't having a sale.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
With Zillow, you're not just looking for a house. You're looking for the bathroom where you'll give your kids shampoo mohawks. The bonus room you'll turn into a gym and work out in every single day, starting tomorrow. You're looking for hardwood floors worthy of your signature dance move, the glitchy robot.
You're not just looking for a house. You're looking for a place for your life to happen. And whether buying or renting, Zillow makes it easy with simple smart search features, photos, video walkthroughs, and more. Zillow, find your way home.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com and beryl-law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo. You're listening to Educational HR Radio. Our guest today, of course, is Rich Layton. He is the Chief Clarity Officer and author of the book we've been talking about, Cutting the Cost of Confusion. So right here at the beginning of the book, you have, as Chief Clarity Officer of Transform Communication, you look under the hood of global organizations to engage, educate, and inspire. And the secret sauce, you says, is the discipline methodology that blends strategic communication with risk management, empowers leaders and teams to identify and overcome their organization's complex business, technology, and marketing challenges. As I think about that, because it really does a nice job of summarizing it, one of the areas that organizations have to focus on is process. And I know that you have a story that you'd like to talk about, go a little bit deeper into about budgeting. And while that may seem boring, it is a critical piece of HR, the critical piece of CEOs and every part of an organization. Take me a little bit down that path of how cutting the cost of confusion can help in the budgeting process.
Sure, sure. A client and I worked together. I'm really blessed to have a client that's worked with me for 20 years. In fact, he's the last chapter of the book. We talk about what we accomplished together, but looked at the incredible level of effort that went into their biannual budgeting process, and it was executives got on airplanes and flew around the country to plants and to satellite offices and sat down and got all these presentations from people. Talking about what they needed to spend their money on and how much they needed to spend in the upcoming couple of years. And literally, it took people away from productive work to produce these numbers, and they wanted these budgets down to a very detailed level. My client and I stood back and we compared budgets across a couple of years and said, okay, of all the things we said we were going to do in this budget cycle, how many of them did we actually do? It was less than 50%. And realistically, some of those even fell off. So what they realized is that the projects that they were budgeting for were not fixed over 2 years. They were coming on and off over 2 years. And what we thought we were going to do is not what we ended up doing. So rather than put all that effort out and really stopping the presses and just locking the company up for 6 weeks to do this budget process, what if we looked at each project in sort of a balanced cost business case? So it's like, when it comes to our budgets, we can have anything, but we can't have everything. And it was giving the organization and the departments within the organization tools to kind of say, realistically, what have we done? What are we likely to need to do? And what is the level of cost estimating that we need to do right now? And so it was helping the organization back up, realizing that we don't have to have a level 5 cost estimate for every project we're putting in our budget. It was recognizing that level of effort is unnecessary and it's wasted and it's probably going to have to be redone every way. So it was getting the senior management to look at at its capital budgeting process in a very different way, as being flexible, as being nimble, and also being able to respond quicker if market situations changed.
Do you think that something so basic in terms of the process you discussed is something that is uncommon as it seems?
I used to think so, and then I'd always be shocked to discover, oh, you're still doing it that way? And often I've been able to cross-pollinate from one industry sector to another, you know, to be able to say, look, I've learned about phase gate, decision-making, and I've learned about developing information only to the level needed to support the next right decision in your organization. And so carrying that from oil and gas and capital projects over to have a client that manufactures digestive enzymes, or taking it to a nonprofit organization and really helping people look at the work that they do with a lens of how can we drive unnecessary complexity out of it? How can we get more value out of our people? There's a time value to expertise. So I want to get it from people when it has the most impact on a decision we're making. Don't show up 2 weeks after the train has left the station with this great report about why we should do it differently. So helping organizations recognize there's expertise everywhere, and they've got to get it to the table at the right time and at the right level.
We're, of course, talking with Rich Layton. You're listening to the HR Power Hour. We're talking about his new book, Cutting the Cost of Confusion. And, you know, it's interesting, your second title really talks about eliminating the high price of failure to communicate. Have you put a number on that? Is there what do you think the number is in terms of what that high price could be in an organization, percentage?
Well, it's different for every organization. It's different for every situation. I have a chapter about, you know, policy confusing our citizens. So how do we put a price tag on the many failures of communicate that we just dealt with during this pandemic? Because that was some life or death stuff, not just money, but life or death stuff. And that inability to tell the right story to the right people in the right way at the right time is the secret. If you take away anything from our conversation, it's the right story to the right people at the right level at the right time.
That's critical and hard to do when you're under stress.
Oh, I guess it is. At the end of the day, I look back and I think I wrote this book for change agents. I wrote this book for people like you and people like me who think that it doesn't have to be the way it's always been if it's not working. And if people are coming into work today and they're not, and they feel like they can't bring all their gifts to the table, then what can we do? You know, what can we do to take the friction out of that process? So I think that's the piece for me. It's like I wrote this book so that if you're a change agent, if you're somebody who thinks your organization can work better, can work more efficiently, can take more value from, get more value out of people every day, then I want to help you do that.
No, it's great. And we're going to learn a little bit more as we wrap up in the next segment. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM. And we will be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
Don't you love that feeling when you've just nailed your look? When someone you barely even know comes up to you and says, "Oh, I love that outfit. Where did you get it?" That's how it feels to use Stitch Fix. They're a personal styling service. Tell them what you love, and they send great clothes for you to try on at home. Stitch Fix is simple. Sign up in just a few minutes. Tell them about the brands you love and the looks that make you feel great. Stitch Fix is convenient. Get everything delivered right to you. Get started today at StitchFix.com. Stitch Fix, personal styling for everybody.
As the list of compliance challenges for businesses continues to grow, it's time to think about your payroll vendor as someone that can do more than just pay your employees. I'm Chris Clef, president of Paper Trails. We're a team of fun and local experts purveying convenient, high-tech payroll and compliance services across New England. Whether your business is struggling to stay compliant with an earned paid leave law, you're worrying about retirement savings programs, or you have questions about your state's paid family medical leave, Paper Trails has the team and tools necessary to allow you to handle the work while we handle the paperwork. To learn more about Paper Trails and how we can help your business, visit papertrails.com/HR Power.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Beryl-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and today we've had the great fortune of speaking with Rich Layton, Chief Clarity Officer, about his book, Cutting the Cost of Confusion. Of course, you're listening to the HR Power Hour, which is podcast on all major podcast channels. Comes out at Saturday at 10 a.m. East Coast time. It not only comes out on the podcast at 10 a.m., it also goes live on WLOB Radio here in the great state of Maine, and of course, webcast on WLOBRadio.com. And of course, you can go to HRPowerHour.com as well to listen to any show anytime. Rich, we've been talking about eliminating the high price of failure to communicate. And I got to tell you, gosh, if we could do that, we probably could solve a lot of problems in the world. But the bottom line at the end of the day is, if somebody's thinking about the fact that, hey, this sounds like a great book, something I'd like to get a hold of, where can they get it? And why should they buy it?
Right. Well, it's on Amazon. It's also at Routledge.com. We have a book website for the book. It's a costofconfusion.com, and go there, learn a little bit about the book, a little bit about me. And there are three options of where to buy it. I believe that my publisher is still offering a 20% discount, which I always love to pass on. I'm all about the discount.
Sure.
Yeah. And who should buy the book? The goal of this book was to really level the playing field for my fellow, you know, folks at the mid-level of an organization who are in communications, who are in graphic services, who are in HR, if you will, who are tasked with, you know, with keeping the wheels turning inside of large organizations and often not being able to kind of bring what they know into the higher level thinking and strategic decision-making. And then when something goes off the rails, then these groups of people are tasked with cleaning up the mess. You know, we've got to do something about the wreckage. And so this book is designed to kind of, you know, like I say, give you a set of tools to insert yourself earlier in the process and say, you know, if people don't truly grasp this from the outset, if we don't do a good job of getting the value proposition up front, why it should, what's in it for them? You know, we've always talked that that's been part of the vernacular for a long time. Here's what it's going to cost us. And then therefore, if you tell people what it's going to cost them to fail, you can often wrench a little bit of time, money, and responsibility and be empowered to prevent that failure.
In the preface, you start off with, in the information age, the greatest threat to knowledge is not ignorance, but confusion. Have you found just in life that there's times that there could be no more clarity, that if it just had the information been given correctly, it could have solved you a lot of time and angst?
We all have those kind of stories, don't we? Oh, gosh. Well, and in some ways, I wrote that before, you know, before truth was at risk. And so misinformation might be my next book, you know, cutting the cost of misinformation. But I think that everybody, you can stand in line at the grocery store and recognize that a process that has failed means that six or seven people are waiting to check out. It happened to us yesterday. So we've checked out for grocery. My wife ran over and we donated our, you know, we put our cans and she got a little printout for the cans and brought that back. And somebody had to, another person in the store had to come and validate this slip that we just got out of the machine that said, this is how many cans we just, you know, we recycled here. And which is, okay, this is great. And another guy comes over and he has a handheld device and he can't scan the barcode. He has to enter the numbers of the barcode manually to then decide, yeah, these people really did have $28 of credit for all the months of they've been bringing their cans here. Meanwhile, I look and I just say, we're those people. We're those people at the checkout counter that have stopped the process in its tracks. And five and six people are behind us, can't check out. Our bags are full. We're ready to go. And here's a piece that somebody hasn't thought through in a store, a grocery store. That's the cost of confusion, David. And it's everywhere. And once people buy this book and once they add this lens to their worldview, you can't unsee it. You won't stop seeing the cost of confusion.
And that's why I think you should go out and buy this book, Cutting the Cost of Confusion. It's of course by the author Rich Layton, Chief Clarity Officer, of course, the author of this book. Rich, I thank you very much for being on the show today. You've been a great guest. Hopefully when your next book comes out, you'll let us know so we can make sure that we tell everybody all about it.
David, thanks for the fantastic conversation. And I hope your listeners find as much value as they possibly can in our conversation. It was great fun.
I'm sure they will. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB, podcast on all major podcast channels, and of course, hrpowerhour.com.
Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.